Welcome to the Pinecast. It's a momentous occasion. I'm here with Joseph up the arse. Follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. It's transfer deadline day has come and gone. We've beaten Spurs. Normalcy is returned. Not that I ever went anywhere. That's what we do.
No.
Beat Spurs.
Yeah. Well, especially at home.
Right. And we had a kind of nice little purchase on the market. We spent money on one fantastic player. How do you feel about this, Joseph?
It's all a lot to take in.
That's what she said.
Already, it's like a minute in.
Well,
all
I
right.
mean, I don't know. You got to set me up like that. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. It was, I was watching the match. I was a nervous wreck. I mean, the whole match. Not that I didn't believe. I was just excited, and it was so much on the match. It was so much on the line. It wasn't just the match, and it was the support. It was Wenger. Everything was really on the line on Sunday. I mean, just because it could have gone so wrong, you know, was there going to be panic buys if we lost? And then no one would have respected the buys that he made. Like, they didn't really respect the buys he made 2 years ago.
Greatest, you know, they didn't panic respect buy ever. It's not a panic buy. It's an opportunistic buy.
But we just had
Mesut Ozil.
Let's talk about the match.
Let's talk about the match. Let's go to the match first.
Okay, so first, you know, first I'd like to show my ESPN graphic.
Yes,
so,
fancy ESPN graphic.
So on this side, well, hopefully you see it this side.
Yes, it's showing this side, nicely.
You have, it's Arsenal against shit. You have zero spent against £100 million. There's no million,
you
but I ran out of space.
M.
But they're supposed to. There's a M. They might as well have spent this because that's about as what it was worth.
Because they got fuck all in results, yes.
And then you had the result of 1-0.
Still no goals from open play from Tottenham. Crazy.
Yeah. You
fancy
know,
that.
You know, I guess we started off exactly like I thought we would. We controlled the match to begin with, and heck, we had really early opportunities before we even scored. We had Santi's free kick under the wall. Then I think we had a Santi kick up into the top corner.
Oh,
neither
Santi.
One went in. Neither
oh, but,
one went in.
But they were on top.
They were on frame.
The one that went under dragged left. You know what the shitty thing was, though, is that the reason why it was so deceptive, I think, was that since it had some kind of side spin, it looked like if it hadn't touched the ground, it would have gone in the goal. But because it touched the grass, it helped accelerate it cutting left.
The spin?
Yeah. Because, like, Santi thought it was in, and then it, like, skipped off the ground and cut further left. It would have, like,
yeah.
I mean, it might not have gone in. It would have at least hit the post or something. But
it literally attached to the people who are in charge of the pitch. It shouldn't have moved.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, but then he had another one, and it was a great shot up to the
top corner.
Up at the corner, yeah. But it was a good save. I mean, Lloris was on his game.
He's a good keeper.
He was really on. I mean, against us last time, I don't remember how he played against. We played him against the 5-2. He was there for the 5-2 last year. He spent a lot of time on his ass.
Right.
Not as much time as Friedel usually did, but
Friedel did, yeah.
But it was an improvement, and he really played his ass off. He came out twice on Theo to cut off the ball. The one where he made the tackle and got there a millimeter on the ball. He just barely touched the ball. A split second later, and that's a red card outside the box, you know. But well, maybe not a red. There were two other players around, so it'd probably still been a yellow. But it was he played really well. He was, like Wenger said, he was their best player.
Yeah,
really was. And then they started off with all their signings. They started everybody. You know, Soldado started, and he was pretty much silent. He tried to dive in the box once.
Right.
That was nice. And really the only threat that they really had was Townsend, and he did exactly what he's been doing. And as he runs into the box, he'll try to cut on his right and come to his left. And really that was it. Yeah. That was it. That was really their most, they had a couple fortunate opportunities, but really it was, they didn't create shit.
So what do you think of our goal?
Oh, well, from front, from back to front, right? I mean,
Per's
stomps
challenge.
That big old giraffe foot and just stops the play, right? And then he immediately gives the outlet out to Ramsey. You know, he finds Ramsey, and Ramsey puts it ahead to Santee, right? And Santee pulls it back into the midfield and then finds Ramsey again, and then out to Theo, and the perfect timing of the ball in and the shape of the ball.
Rzyski didn't have a touch.
I don't remember if it was.
I thought one of them was Rzyski. I don't know, whatever. But so back and forth and out to Theo.
Maybe it was
cross.
Maybe if it was, then, but it was out to Theo, and Theo's ball was perfect, and the outside of the foot finish was spectacular.
That's a deft touch. That is not easy at all. Like, you know, here's the thing. Like, he did miss some pretty easier chances than those last season, but.
Oh yeah,
but I mean that kind of finish is like, I mean that takes a certain kind of class. You know, we were watching fucking Robin Van Persie do these one touch finishes, and you're like, oh, that's absolutely world class, this and that. Obviously, he doesn't have a Van Persie touch, but he's been quite effective with those finishes. You know, like a lot of people would mess those up.
I'll tell you what, that though, we saw that movement 2 years ago when Van Persie was still with us. That perfectly timed run to the front for the front post, and him putting the ball, and then Theo putting the ball right where it needed to be.
Right. Got some extracurricular noise over there, Joseph. What do you have an alarm going off for?
I have no idea.
All right, we'll mute your mic in the meantime. But so, yeah, so in terms of that goal, we saw a great finish, you know, a good Arsenal move flowing from left to right, back to front, and louder beeping, louder and louder. So after all that, we come away with a vital goal, obviously, a great Arsenal move, capped off by a great Giroud finish. And then, I don't know, I mean, I know we had chances after that, but it seemed like we kind of shut up shop and closed it down at the end of the match. I mean, it seemed like we kind of bunkered in and tried to hold on to
well,
the result.
I mean, we had Jack come off for illness, and
something affectionately termed mud butt, right, I believe?
Squirts. He pretty much had the squirts.
He had some bad lasagna, huh? I loved Arsene's comment after, saying, oh, what happened to Spurs a couple years ago? Jack and Bat both had it, huh?
He was in a good mood, so he could bring up stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we brought on Monreal and we brought in Sanya at the end, and we shut up shop. But they still didn't. I mean, all they were doing was lumping balls in. That's it. It wasn't like they were creating anything. They had nothing. And it is, you know, it is about them just beginning to play with each other. And probably by February they'll really. Probably start to click. I mean, I wasn't, you know, looking at the players they bought, just in general, Chadley's a decent winger, you know.
Right.
Townsend will be fine, but he's not going to be spectacular. He's going to cut in, for anybody who hasn't done their homework, he's going to cut from his right onto his left and constantly take a shot. For those unprepared, it's going to work. But honestly, Lamella, for the time that he came on, you can obviously see that he has loads of talent.
Yeah.
You know, he really did. He didn't see the ball that much, but when he did, you could tell that after a period of time with the players, he'll probably be the one to be unlocking defenses. Soldado didn't get service.
He's their new record signing, right? Lamella?
$30 million?
Yeah, he was more expensive than Soldado, right?
Yeah, not by much, but yes.
Yeah, a couple million.
Yeah, and there's, what, 5 or 6 years in between him as far as age.
Well, he's a very talented player. He's a younger player with a lot of potential. But so
he was I thought he was really good in the brief. I mean, relatively to the rest of the people on the pitch for them. He was a bright spot, I thought.
But so I think so one thing that really did stand out, which is something we, you know, kind of had touched on before, was the fact that you see this continuity in the Arsenal squad. You see this connection, like all of a sudden now, you know, Theo and Giroud have a better understanding. Like, well, Van Persie and Theo had a great understanding. But yeah, they played together for how many years? I mean, how long have we had Theo before that? 5 years? I mean, not that he played all the time with Van Persie, because Van Persie wasn't fit for only two of those
years.
But still.
I'm thinking Theo and him for a good year and a half, 2 years, developing.
Of playing, like, you know, together as first choice, you know, and whatnot. But, I mean, like 4 or 5 years on the training pitch. I mean, you can't really replace that. And so, you know, we saw, you know, we reaped a lot of those benefits in terms of the continuity we've seen and the understanding developing between these players.
Yeah, imagine that. You keep your players together and they get better together.
Crazy concept, right?
It's new. It's something we're trying.
But so let's move on from the match, because the match was good and great. It was a gritty result, but it was what we needed. We got the much-needed victory. Let's talk about the home
support was obviously good, too, because they won. But it was good throughout the match. It was loud.
I saw some people on Twitter talking about it potentially being the best atmosphere they had seen at the Emirates other than the Barcelona win.
Right.
Which is great to see. You know, I mean, that's what we need to see from the fans. And, you know, now there's going to be something for them to sing about. Let's talk about the rest of the weekend, though. So, immediately in the post-match comments, ABB confirms Bale, which we already knew was done and dusted. He was off to Real Madrid. You want to talk about Levy's little shenanigans he tried to pull? I mean, because
not yet, because even not knowing the shenanigans, they were trying to
just cock block. I mean,
well, they're trying to come out and hopefully they're putting it all on they're going to win, right? That they're going to win, and then they can announce Bale, and it's like no big deal. But then they got kicked in the balls twice within minutes, right? ABB loses the match, and he has to come out because he knows he's going to get questions, right. And he has to come out and say that yes, Bale is gone. He's gone now.
Right.
So, and then I guess we go to the next day. Really, we go to the next day, and we're waiting all day. Although. We had been rumored for how many days? A couple days? Last week, even, maybe? Late last week?
Yeah, you didn't have tons of faith in something like that happening. It's just like we've been led down the road too many times. You know, so was Di Maria going to happen? Was it going to be Ozil?
I believed, I could only go on what I believed, that we were close. I didn't think that we were for sure, but... It was the closest I felt like something was getting done, just personally.
Unlike me, I thought Higuain was
personally. I wasted my entire day Monday doing other things, but for a while I was just clicking, 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 and it wasn't just because we had heard Ozil. Was going to happen and kept hearing it was going to happen. I was waiting for, is there anything else going to happen? You know, because we heard about the keeper. I don't remember what time it was, our time, but, and that was fine.
Yeah,
it was a position that,
I was at the beach and my Wi-Fi cut out, so I didn't have any fucking Wi-Fi. So I was just I was intentionally ignoring it, and I saw stuff going on, but I was like, I just can't do this for the next 6-7 hours. I just didn't have it in me. And so about every hour or two, I would just go and check. And then at a certain point, once it seemed like it was all done, you know, I was sitting there at the beach, my friends were just staring at me like, what the fuck's this guy doing? He's just sitting there. I'm like, so Arsenal are actually going to sign Mesut Ozil? Like, I don't want to say anything because I just want it fucking announced, but like,
I know.
How do I contain my excitement? You know, this is such a fucking big thing. So
it was almost the same feeling for me 2 days in a row. It was that fucking blow the whistle. It was the same, announce it already and blow the whistle. Where in 2 days was the exact same feeling for me. It was a relief.
See, you fucked up. You should have done it like me. You should have just slept through the match, and then you would have just known they won after. And like I was trying to get access to whatever. Then I got to my phone and was like, oh. Congratulations on the win. I was like, I don't even know what the score is. I was like, thank you.
Yeah, no, I was up. Sorry, I was awake. I didn't enjoy the night before like maybe you did.
Yeah, maybe.
But yes, but what we actually signed, I don't know,
world class, top
20 players in the world. I don't know. It's
yeah.
It's
no.
I don't know.
No, he's up there.
He's up there.
Top 20 is a fair call, you know. And you got people saying, you know, Mourinho comes out and says, you know, of course when he was his player. I doubt that he'll go back on it. He's not going to slander Ozil. I mean, he's not Cristiano or anything. He talks shit about Cristiano. But so he comes out and says, you know, he's the best number 10 in the world. You know, that's when he was his player. But obviously he holds him high esteem, and rightfully so. Look, we've just done something that I never had faith that we would ever be able to do. We took the superstar number 10 playmaker from Real Madrid and signed him at 24 years old. You know, going into his prime in a World Cup year, you know, for $42.5 million, like that's mind-boggling from an Arsenal perspective, right? We nearly tripled our transfer record. You go out and make this statement of intent, and like, you know, and it all kind of hinged on, you know, Mourinho's taking a lot of heat for it. You know, you have to give Arsene Wenger some credit, and all
you
parties
have to give
included.
Him a ton of credit.
Yeah, you do. And you look at the way it's all developing, and you look at all the other subplots and just how United, you know, and then, you know, the stories now, it's funny, right? So that, you know, he chose Wenger over Moyes, David Moist, which, you know, why would you, you know, why do you blame him? You know, it makes sense, right?
It's what I've been trying to say all summer long.
He's not that Fergie sway, you know, Fergie's gone.
Have it.
RVP wouldn't have been going to fucking United this year if it was David Moist, you know?
Well,
he'd be going to City. He would have gone to City.
The only player that Moist was able to sign was a player he had already managed.
His old player. And apparently
nobody
the player
else
had to
wanted
forego
to go
some big bonus, right? He had to forego a couple millions in a bonus and some
right.
shit.
Right. He had to formally request a transfer in order to get it done. So, but I guess, you know, one talk with a French manager who can speak several languages helps, right?
Yeah, I can speak to you in German.
Right.
That's a big sway. We had some players. We got to give a shout out to Agent Mertesacker doing some work. So apparently, he's helped us out with Poldi and with Ozil.
Yeah, it's great.
Honestly, that's almost bigger than anything he's done on the pitch. I mean, and I'm not trying to slight Per. Per's great, but certainly not what you expected from when we signed him. You know, he was kind of a. You know, like people thought he was one of those bargain bin last minute signings, and he kind of was. You know,
and he kind of was.
But we've had a few really good players come out of that window. Obviously, a few have been bunk ass deals, but obviously we've seen a change in terms of the efficiency of signing like veteran players. I mean, that was, you know, Mertesacker and Arteta and all that have come in and been really good. You know, influences and forces within the squad. I mean, look at them as a vice captain, you know, and the vice captain, I guess you could say, right? I mean, that's basically where they are in the pecking order now. And these are guys who just came in 2 years ago.
Right. So, I think you probably didn't see it, but I saw it on my timeline. I don't remember if it must have been early transfer day, was that supposedly that Per is the captain.
Is the captain like what?
But I haven't heard. We have of the club. It's not Vermaelen.
I mean,
what the word on the street?
Why would it be that over Arteta? Like, why would he be? Why would he jump over that? I don't know. I don't. If he's the word on the street.
Captain,
well, fuck the word on the street because Arsene never does that. I mean, you look at it with Vermaelen becoming captain. You know, he's kind of rigid with like, all right, give you know the. The captaincy to the vice captain kind of thing. Like, why would it not be Arteta? It makes no sense.
Just telling you. That's what I heard.
All right. Well, fuck the
Twitter. We'll see if it comes true.
Fuck the Twitter grapevine.
Except the Twitter grapevine gave us stuff pretty early.
About what?
About the transfers. About Ozil.
Early, like earlier in the day?
No, like
I mean
days ahead of time.
Right.
I'm just saying that sometimes the information is okay.
Yeah, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while, you know?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you find blind squirrels that seem to know what they're talking about year after year.
Wait, are you talking about ITKs?
No.
No? No. Certainly not those. Me. No.
It certainly isn't me, that's for sure. Uh-huh. I know nothing. I don't know what you put that down. But anyway, but there were some, we had some good articles today about the shenanigans, as you've referred to them as. You had, I think, I don't remember if it was the Telegraph, I think maybe put something out about that it was, you know, came down to Wenger calling. And then we had another post written about what else do we have? Oh, the I guess the gentleman's agreement between Mourinho and Wenger to not go after each other's targets.
Right, that was intriguing. Yeah, I read that one about that. That apparently their relations have become much more amicable over the past bit of time. But then, right, so they agreed that he would go after Rooney and we'd go after Suarez or some shit like that.
Right,
I read that. That was intriguing, though, and that was interesting. And I understand, you know, we still should never expect him to do us any favors, and it was no fucking coincidence that Baugh deal didn't go through, you know? I mean, you know, right. And so they say, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't behoove you. I mean, it's not like it's fucking crazy logic to think that, like, okay, we just signed – he knows how good Ozil is, and we just signed him. He saw how good we are with the pieces we have intact. Yeah, fuck that. I'm not getting another striker. We never should have expected it. You know?
Yeah, I never expected it.
Would you have been happy since this was a situation? I mean, it ended up being the other striker, but I always thought like the way it might work out would be like Torres coming on deadline day. Everyone likes the goalie scored the other day, so everyone's like, oh wait, maybe we do want Torres.
Oh well, I thought that
I would have taken him.
It might. Well, yeah, but I just didn't. I mean, we talked. There was just no way he was ever going to sell to us.
Right. Just, right. Why would he?
You know why? Yeah.
Yeah. But that's good point. And then, but Daniel fucking Levy and his little cock blocking little bitch. I don't know. I can't say anything else.
The best part is that it didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
But that shows you what the shit they try to do.
Well, you know. Well, so here's the thing. I know everyone talks about it. And so the North London Derby's over. And so everyone's, you know, enjoying rubbing the shit's faces and shit. I'm just fucking, I'm done talking about them. That's enough. They lost Bale. We beat them. Fuck off. I'm tired of how big the group is of people who are using the Tottenham fucking method in terms of just spending all day slagging off this other small team. It's like, are we the team with the inferiority complex? No.
No.
Let it go. Let's move on. I know we're basking in the glory of a North London Derby victory. Which is big. It's big. But, I mean, you see with Levy's tactics and him being deathly afraid of us getting a player like Di Maria or Ozil from Real Madrid, you know? Like, this is – I don't know. We don't need that small club mentality shit. I don't need to talk about Tottenham every other day. We won't talk about Tottenham on the Pinecast for the next, like, 2 months until we play them again, until something actually important happens.
Yeah, I don't expect that we'll talk about them again. I think whoever we got next, we'll talk about them.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that it's come up way too much. I'm just over it.
So now that the transfer period is over,
great.
Could we have done better?
Yes. Could have done much How? Better. Could have signed a striker How? And a defender also. Or a striker into the midfield.
He doesn't think he needs a defender.
He needs a striker.
I don't think he disagrees with you there.
Right.
I don't think he needs.
So, I mean, we're still...
I don't think, we're he still, doesn't think he needs a defensive midfielder either.
Well, but
everybody else does.
We're still he like... Doesn't. Yeah. Here's the thing. If we had no injuries, we already have them mounting up. We're still like two bodies short of a squad, right? Look, we brought in three players, right? Four total, and Sanogo doesn't fucking count. We brought in like three senior players, right? And
yes.
one of them is a flappy-handed goalkeeper from Italy who shouldn't see any playing time, really. So
probably won't.
So, I mean, he just makes the numbers. You have Flamini or Flamini, whatever, and he's our utility guy. He's now our new holding midfielder, our new fullback if needed, and blah, blah, blah. So I understand, like, there goes the defensive need, but, like, is that really the best way it could have been addressed? No. No one's going to argue that was the best way it could have been addressed.
No, you couldn't have. But when you've missed out on your target through – fault or not, you can't keep going back to Higuain. That we missed out on it, and
I'm not going on that anymore.
I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm just talking about in general. We can keep going back to
certainly.
We got screwed.
It was still a pivotal moment for us in the window.
Okay, but how we got? He's got to go forward. If he made errors, and I'm sure he thinks he does.
He still had what? He still had more than a month to sign any other striker.
Okay, did people want that was available? That's not true.
Even if he wasn't a first choice striker that was going to come in and be better than Giroud, even if it was a guy like Demba Ba, and if you're telling me you couldn't find anyone of the caliber of Demba Ba out there on the market, then you know, like, you're not looking hard enough. And don't ask me who they all are, because I can make up, you know, targets and whatnot. But honestly, with the money we had, you could go out and buy someone. We could have bought fucking Eto. You know, I know he's on crazy money, this and that, but look, offset some of his fee goes into the ridiculous wages you're going to pay him. You know, I'm not saying we could have hijacked that deal, but I'm just saying, like, you could have brought in a striker.
Look, I'm just going to play devil's advocate, because I'm just going to. But you bought a striker, and I don't care. He cost $10 million, and he's cover, and he might see the pitch a handful of times between now and January.
We have one striker. How would he see the pitch a handful of times?
I'm not done. Relax.
Okay.
But then the person you want, you can get in January. So now what? What do you do with the one you just bought?
Who are you going to get in January? Now you're speculating on futures too much.
It's no more speculation than you're giving me.
I'm saying the squad only has one striker right now, so that needs to be assessed.
You've got Sanogo. And you've got Bettner. You can say what you want. He's a striker.
Yeah, but neither of those two should ever be on the pitch for Arsenal anytime soon. And I'm just saying, like, they really shouldn't be in any kind of rotation. I'm not saying Nicholas Bettner is a good enough striker. And I think with the right everything going right, he can come back in and contribute and be useful. But you know, with his character, everything that's gone on, we've wanted to get rid of him. So he should have gone. I know much of that is fault of his own. You know, and apparently, you know, I saw a statement he made today, you know, and it's kind of like, all right, well, so you were willing to move and you had deals in place. Like, well, you turned down moves multiple times because you weren't willing to, you know.
Right, but that's – he's done it, and what other choice does he have to try to build a bridge and put a statement out? That he had no other choice.
Yeah, no. I'm not faulting him for that. But I'm saying is that, like, the situation could be handled better. This fell swoop in getting Ozil, which so we act like we're angry that we haven't signed anybody. I'm over the fucking moon. We signed Mesut Ozil, you know. That doesn't gloss over everything else that happened in the transfer window and other
– Well, yes, but you can only keep going back. So many times.
Well, I'm not going back. I'm just telling you that
he didn't get one. Okay, but he didn't get one. Yeah, I get it. I understand that our squad is not complete. I get it. But it's not necessarily – I don't know.
If you're trying to contend for things this season, which is what
– But he did, he's not what he was trying to do.
That's what he says.
No, he didn't. He stated we would not be contending for things for a couple of years. He said that earlier this summer.
We're supposed to be.
We all wanted to contend now. I get it. I want to win too. I'm just saying that is not necessarily his plan.
Right. But I mean, it's the thing is that they know everyone here knows that our ambitions are supposedly bigger and greater. That's what the fans want. That's what people in the club say they want. Obviously, Arsene wants to contend. You know, I mean, we can argue over his semantic differences of how long-term his plan is or whatever, you know. But if you want to contend for things this year, you need to have a squad capable. And he's even said it himself, that, well, we're short bodies. And look, you can't say at the end that he brought in enough in terms of just sheer numbers. The thing is, the signing we made with Mesut Ozil is of such a caliber and such a class that it glosses over and papers over the cracks of other things.
I don't think it papers the cracks over anything. I don't think it just we're excited about that signing. I'm not saying that we're not deficient at striker. We obviously are. But do we just find another – I mean, I'm just worried about finding another Park or finding – you know, another Santos, because we weren't able to get the whoever striker the third or fourth choice was, And so now we're just going to find some guy.
Well, you could have brought one in on loan or whatever, and it's not that much of a long-term thing. But the thing is,
but a quality enough, a lone striker quality enough to adjust to the league, to adjust to the way we play. You know, I mean, there's, I don't know, it's just not
easy. It's possible. It's been done. It's been done by many other teams before. It's not like it's impossible. Even if you brought in someone like, you know, years ago, we brought in a striker on loan once, you know, and it's not like he was great. Was he good enough to be in the squad? Yes. Was he good enough to be a starter? No. I'm talking about the fucking the beast. You know, did it work out? No. But was he a serviceable striker? If you told me you had him today, you had Julio Baptista, who's fucking past it right now. He still comes on the bench before Bentner, Park, and Sanogo. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just need a guy who's serviceable enough who can do a job. I'm not saying he had to be world class if that was going to be – if he wasn't your prime target. But you could still get someone in. But the big thing is it's that the Ozil signing is a statement of intent, you know. And it really can change the culture, so to speak. You know, there are players, you know, we've lost the players that we've had who were so influential and people watched and were like, you know, these are the guys I look up to, you know. Kids right now are watching Mesut Ozil like he's the fucking truth and that's who they want to follow. Like, we're gaining a large chunk of fans from this. He's obviously gaining over a million followers and whatnot and Facebook friends and Twitter and all that, But you know, you're bringing in someone who is a dynamic player, a creative midfielder who's the star and best player, arguably the best player on the German team as it stands. You know, like, I mean, as far as it goes in terms of what he's proved, he's better than Götze and stuff like that now.
Even if he's the fourth best player on that team, it's still pretty damn good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, even if he was. I mean, I guess you actually say in terms of accomplishments and whatnot, you could say Schweinsteiger and stuff. But, I mean, in terms of where he plays and his excitement. Yeah. You know, because, I mean, you look at them all, though. I mean, there's so many options right there in terms of, like, young German superstars. I mean, Marco Reus is a signing that I would classify in, like, the same category. But you have to say that Mesut Ozil's proved it at a higher level. I mean, he's been at Real Madrid the past couple of years putting up ridiculous numbers. So he's as proven as any of them, you know, more so. And he's already done it in a World Cup, too. So
I think the statement of intent, I don't know that we'll make another signing – money wise is as big as this again for a very long time. But what it means to me personally is that I take it as that we're building and we're actually building, you know? So maybe we get a striker that actually fulfills our needs. And if that striker only costs 20 or 25 or 15, I think all of us are like, okay, add another piece. I don't think we're going to have to.
You can add one piece a window, you know? I mean, you really can. I mean, if you say right now, and you're like you said, we're talking long term for next year, and we're talking next year, which is fine. If that's the case, then so you add another big piece in January, and you add one more big piece in the summer, and they all have time to acclimate and come in, and so be it. I mean, all I was saying about the transfers as a whole is that, like I said, there was no way to make an A out of the window in terms of it being done the right way and best possible. We got the best possible solution without fixing some of our needs. It got salvaged to a B because it should have been an A because if you got Mesut Ozil early in the summer, and there's all other things and ways it can play out. But it's salvaged. It's great. It's a great, great signing of intent. It's amazing. But
it's not, yeah.
But then you say like Mesut Ozil, right? I mean, he's their opening day. We don't lose to Villa. Yeah, you know, people are gonna go back and do all that shit.
So. Well, sure. Except there's no way to get him done on an opening day. But you're right. I mean, if we had added a player, a striker, another midfielder, a defensive midfielder before
someone who came into our starting 11.
You know, then we probably don't lose, or. Maybe we salvage a draw out of that match, you know. But those are ifs, you know.
No, there's certainly ifs.
Absolutely, was it we certainly were failing up until Ozil in the transfer market. And you're right; it's salvaged a B. He crammed for the test.
Yeah, I mean, no, that was a great job on finals. You know, like well done to knock it out of the park on your final exam, but
I wish you didn't study like I do.
Right, exactly. Like, I'm the procrastinator, man.
You're supposed to be better than me.
Be better than this. It's absurd. So, I mean, you know, we made the best of that situation. We now everyone's just dying because we have to wait on seeing them play. You know, now we're going to be watching. And I know it's the worst. I had that like shitty feeling this morning. I was like,
we all had the feeling.
I was like, I pray he doesn't get, not about it not happening, but like, don't get injured with Germany like this week.
No, I know that's what you're thinking.
I was like, oh,
honestly,
God.
I'm just thinking there's 2 weeks for more guys to get fit. We're closer to being fit.
That's true. That's one really good thing for us. And especially since we have so many of them that are out for a chunk, you know, with Podolski now out for 3 months with a grade 3 hamstring strain. Like, that's terrible. Yeah. Like, there's a good chance he won't come back from that this year. And I don't mean like this. I mean, like, he won't be fully recovered from that. It's not at some point.
That's a big hamstring injury.
It's super big. That's like, those are like one of the hamstring injuries that slowed down Torres and Owen, you know, like where they lost all their spark. And it's not like he had the pace of those guys to begin with, you know?
Right.
Podolski never had their pace. He had their engine, but.
You know what I like about, I mean, watching, which I'm sure I'm the 1 millionth Arsenal supporter that went and checked out all the Ozil YouTube videos.
Oh,
I love the way he runs. You know what I mean? He never looks like he's straining to run. You look at Podolski, and he's straining to run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To carry that weight, you know? Ozil just glides glides past people, you know? He doesn't ever look like he's straining to get somewhere.
God, you know what I watched today? So I waited. So I've seen plenty of Mesut Ozil, but I refused to watch any compilations. Like, none. I was like, not until after it's all done. And even then, all I had it was on my phone. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to wait until I'm home. I'm going to put it on the iPad or something. I'm just going to watch all this. Someone posted one earlier today of all of his, like, back heels. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that one.
Dude, it's just this full compilation of all these back heel passes. And they're all so ridiculous. And it's like every different possible situation where you can hit a back heel in the tightest of traffic between all these players. You're just like, oh, my God. This is too much.
I'm very excited about him making everyone step up their game to become better.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. I mean, because he's got...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just... I can't wait to see him play, but I can't wait to see the other players around the squad go, holy shit, I better get off my ass and work harder. You know, that's what I hope happens to the squad.
Well, you know, it'll be inspirational. I mean, you know, these guys want big players to come in with them, you know, and we've seen, you know, it'd be silly to think that the potential of other players coming in hasn't affected like Giroud's performance, you know, he's known the pressure. He's like, we're going to try to sign Luis Suarez. My ass is going to be sitting on the bench. I better start scoring some fucking goals.
Right.
But it's the thing you want. You want them to you know, they want them to fucking push for places. So, you know, that's – all you want is competition, you know, and that should bring the best out of them. So win-win, you know. Best case scenario for all of us is more competition for the team. Both these guys fighting to impress each other. And you're right. Having a guy like Mesut Ozil, at the pitch, they're going to see it in training. This kid's no joke. Right. He's got some ridiculous skill.
I mean, I think there's going to be – I'm sure Theo's going to be very guilty of not going after a ball he didn't think was going to be coming and being, you know, hopefully get a nice kick in his own ass. Because I think he'll be a big benefit just the way he plays. He could be a huge benefit. He reaped the benefits of Ozil, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he should benefit from, like, now I think Theo's got to get 25 plus goals this season, you know.
It should be.
With the number of balls he's gonna get now.
Yeah.
And so this is one of those things, like, you know, like, of course, I was always for, well, I mean, of getting a player of the caliber of, and I never even dreamed of Ozil. I was like, the only guy we can get that's this good is if somehow, you know, Cesc leaves Barca. But we literally, I was like, if you could pick one player you could take instead of him, like, this is the guy. It's for me. So,
yeah.
And the big thing was, too, that the best thing about this, not the best, but it's one of the best things about this was that, you know, everyone was so divided about how they felt about Suarez or someone else who we were going to potentially get. And it's kind of like, you know, if we're going to spend that much money, you don't want to be like arguing over the character of a player and all that. You know, we brought, we're bringing this guy who's, you know, he's a class, he's a professional player on and off the pitch. He's classy in like everything that he generally does. No one doubts his quality, you know, like there, you can't slander him. He's not a fucking Gervinho buy from France. It's like, We just cherry picked, you know, the second best player on Real Madrid because they wanted to get fucking Bale. And then we brought him in, and everyone, no one can say a bad word about him. Even the fucking pundits can't say shit. Like, what are you going to say? We just spent, you know, second highest transfer into the Premier League, right? So, I mean, the only other one is Torres.
Yeah.
And so this is the second biggest signing and the biggest signing from abroad coming into the Premier League. Like, and this guy's undoubted and proven quality. So these guys all need to take a back seat and they're going to have to just eat some humble pie on it to a certain extent, which is great. It's great to see. So we'll see how.
Yeah, I'm still not, because we haven't seen him play in his shirt. It's all real. And, you know, I can believe it. I just
don't
can't
you wish we had
wait,
a match
really.
Tomorrow? It's like today's Tuesday. Yeah. We could have been playing today or tomorrow.
You know, you just can't wait to see him, you know, in the shirt. You know, I can't wait for him to hear the home supporters and hell, even the away supporters, you know, scream his name for 90 minutes, you know.
Right. Yeah, they're going to be all over it, and it's going to be exciting. So we got Sunderland.
Is that who we have?
That's
going to
be his first match. So
away,
Sunderland away, and then we get Stoke at home. Welcome to the Premier League, right?
At least he doesn't have to go away to Stoke his first match.
Yeah. That's true. Doesn't have to go to the Britannia. So that's better.
We'll save that for later in the year.
And the other possibilities.
It'll probably be like January or something.
Yeah. Awful. We'll see. But I mean, all around, I mean, you know, like I said, there were some things that weren't addressed, but signing Ozil is such a fucking great movement in the right direction. And it's a statement of intent. And yes, it really should be a sign of things to come. Like, we're not expecting you to buy 50 players, this and that. I mean, it's true, though. I mean, like, I can't help but think about what could have been. And I know it's unfair. It's unfair, you know, expectations. But just, like, think of this buzz that happened right now, bringing him in, and you do that a month ago. And I know he wasn't available, but you signed somebody.
You signed somebody. Yeah, no,
I mean, for 20 or 30 million. I mean, but think of like after that, people, you know, everyone be like, oh, go to Arsenal and play with fucking Mesut Ozil. Like, big things are happening there. Like, you almost want there to be another week left in the transfer window now because all of a sudden we've done the best and biggest deal. You know, the biggest deal that's been done in this transfer window has been Gareth Bale to Real Madrid.
Right.
But apparently, the general consensus is that Real Madrid lost a player that was equal, if not better, than this guy for almost half the money. You know,
right?
So we look like the real winners in this whole situation.
He had talk of the armory running out of Z's.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Like, really, you can't predict that.
I think it's just I don't know. I think it's great. I think the happiness of all of us who have waited for this moment, you know, I know some have not waited very long and there's others we've waited a decade for a signing like this.
I've been waiting since Bergkamp, you know, I wasn't even supporting at the time when this all happened. Bergkamp was on Arsenal when I first started supporting. So I've never even seen this, you know, Henri was the biggest signing, you know, shit like that. It's not.
Yeah. I mean, every year it's always been about players going, you know, and who we're going to lose and who we're going to sell, or hell, who we're going to break, you know?
Yeah. But it's a step in the right direction. Really, it should be the right move for us. And I couldn't be more excited about the player that we brought in, you know? Like I said, look, we keep everyone fit. Look, like I said, you know, we brought back Fabregas, we got a guy like this. I'm not saying we're going to win a title this year. No. But are we now certainly in contention? Like, look, United dropped, what, 5 points in the past week?
Yes. You know,
City have already dropped points. No one's perfect. Liverpool's the only perfect team. Like, fuck off. Right. It's not going to last. They're going to be better. They might even pip Spurs for fifth. I don't know. We'll see. They're going to have Suarez playing now, and Sturridge is looking good. So
I was listening to one of the,
or maybe they'll, pip United to fourth. I don't know.
I was listening to I think I was listening to 606 or something on Five Live, and they were talking about the Liverpool's winning percentage is higher without Suarez than it is with him, and they're trying to figure out if that's just coincidence or if that's just the other players playing, maybe having to play together more.
I don't know.
Sturridge has played well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's a good sign. He was one of their best signings, I think.
Yeah, and we both said that last year. We both thought Sturridge was a tidy player. I would have taken Sturridge from Chelsea, you know?
Yeah.
Look, Sturridge is not like world-class, fantastic center forward, but you brought in a guy like him to be a guy who comes into the rotation with Giroud, I'd be really fucking happy.
He links up really well. He's a good player.
He's a good player.
He really is.
He's probably, let's see, I'm starting to think of English strikers. I don't know between him and Welbeck. Welbeck's so fucking hot and cold.
He's way more talented, I think, than Welbeck is.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's more cultured. He's got better touch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're fortunate. Did you see the incident between Van Persie and Gerrard?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
I've got it on the DVR, so I have to look through this.
You'll see if you see it. If not, you can find, I'm sure, YouTube videos, but them jawing back and forth at each other. And because Van Persie was being kind of pricky, shocker. I think Van Persie asked him where his Premier League medal was, and Gerrard told him to fuck off and asked him where his Champions League medal was. It was a lot of jawing. It's pretty good.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of dick measuring. Fair.
Yeah, it was funny though.
Yeah. Well, I've missed little bits and pieces of the weekend. All I've seen is some of the review. But for some reason, they didn't show that incident, I think, in the Premier League review or roundup that I saw. Maybe I just saw the goals.
But yeah, I don't know if they show it. It was all over the place, though.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Well, so we have these international fixtures coming up. We have the U.S. men's national team playing down in Costa Rica. I know that's really exciting for everyone who cares about CONCACAF, but a weekend without Arsenal, so I have to get through that.
I guess at least these internationals mean something.
I want it now. Yeah, you're right. These are qualifiers.
These aren't just friendlies.
Yeah. I'm doing Veruca? Is it Veruca Salt? Or was it? Damn it.
Veruca Salt.
It's Veruca.
Yeah. Who was now?
No, it was Violet Beauregard.
No, Violet was the one that turned into a blueberry.
Yeah, she was the one who wanted everything. It was Veruca.
No, Veruca Salt was the bad egg. That's where she went down the bad egg.
She was the bad egg. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one was... the other one was just the ridiculous gum chewer. I remember that.
The gum chewer, that's right.
Yeah.
It always happens with the blueberry pie.
Always a blueberry pie. Send her down to the ringer. It's been a pleasure, Joseph. We will chat more soon. I'd like to welcome Elliot, the Yankee Gunner. Follow him on Twitter at Yankee Gunner to the Pintcast. Thank you for coming and joining me. Elliot, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me when there's finally something to celebrate a little bit.
Right. We were saying, like I said earlier this summer, we were waiting for a signing to do a podcast, and it wasn't worth it. You know, it just took so fucking long. But was it worth it in the end? Are you happy with bringing in Mesut Ozil?
I mean, you'd have to be an absolute fucking moron not to be happy with bringing in Mesut Ozil. Yeah, I'm thrilled to death. I think, the question of whether Mesut Ozil is enough is a separate question from whether I'm excited about Ozil. And you know what, Joaquin? I think the best way I can look at this is like this. There's the question of what signing Mesut Ozil means for us as a club, and then there's a question of what signing Mesut Ozil means for our season. And I think those are two different questions. I think that this signing is significant for us as a club. It shows other players, it shows other clubs, it shows supporters that we can compete in this market, that we can sign one of the best players on the planet from one of the biggest clubs on the planet, that we're willing to pay what it takes to do it, that we can negotiate those deals and execute those deals. And I think as a club, and we've already seen some of the numbers coming in on shirt sales, as a club, we see what this means and how important it is. For our season, I think that's another question, because there was some other business that maybe needed to get done, and I think Ozil improves us dramatically and gives our season a much, much more optimistic outlook. But whether it will be enough in the scheme of things for this season, I think, is still an open question.
Yeah, I was getting into this debate with Joseph last night, you know, talking about, and he was saying, no, Wenger's on a 2-year plan. He wants to win things next year. And I'm like, well, you know, we have these ambitions. We want to strengthen for what we have now. You know, I always said earlier this summer, if we were to, you know, pull off a big signing like this, and I never expected to be Ozil. I was like, the only way we're going to get a player of this caliber is if we find a way to get Fabregas out of Barcelona and get him cheap, you know. But if you brought someone like that into the squad, I'd consider us a realistic title contender. I don't know if I'd go that far right now. I think Ozil is that quality that throws us into the mix. I think that certainly makes it people a lot more comfortable about our top four standing after bringing a guy like Mesut Ozil. But will it really be enough to get us across the line? You know, in judging what he can do just from a talent perspective, I think he gives us that extra edge. But like you said, you know, I look at our squad and we're still a few bodies short. And that's on top of the fact that we already have these, you know, we got three significant injuries on the books right now, not accounting Diaby or anyone else who's, you know, forever gone and forever broken, but we're short. But yeah, to the point you were making, I mean, you know, they're seeing this windfall, and this is something that you never really would, you know, you had to see it to believe it. To your point about being able to get a deal done with Madrid, like, you know, when the rumors came out this weekend that we were going to do this, of course, I was crossing my fingers and praying, but I had no faith we'd get the deal done. And this is such a signal of intent and showing the ability to get a deal closed with a super club like Real Madrid. And it's a great sign of things to come.
Yeah. I mean, look, the money was there to have Ozil and another big signing,
right,
and a Higuain and a Suarez and a Rooney. I mean, not all of them, but I mean, we could have done Ozil right. Plus one, right? Ozil plus Rooney, Ozil plus Suarez, Ozil plus Higuain. I think it's like I said, what this means for the club is monumental. And the joy I feel at getting him is monumental. And I said this on Twitter the other day. There is not a player we were linked with this summer that I'd rather have than Ozil. And the closest one that people pushed me on was Cesc Fabregas.
Right.
But I think this is a case of sort of like the new healthy relationship is better than the old relationship. So I couldn't be happier about this player. The question of whether we could have done more business, I think, goes back to, did we have a plan? Were we organized this summer? Did we know what we wanted to do? Let's not make everything black and white. There are shades of gray. And
everywhere.
I think it's okay to say that this was a huge signing, phenomenally done, you know, well done to the club, but that there were still signs this summer that there was some chaos and disarray in how the transfer strategy was conducted. And, you know, you can't pretend that the Higuain stuff and the Suarez stuff didn't happen. They did. So in final adjudication, I think the answer is job well done on Ozil, job only partly done overall. We still don't have a backup striker. And to your point, you know, if you were sitting there, let's say it's like this. If you were sitting there on Sunday saying, oh, God, we have a really thin squad. And then on Monday we signed Ozil. No matter how phenomenal Ozil is, he's one player. So if on Sunday.
And a thin player at that.
And a thin player, right. So we've added a thin player to a thin squad and removed some of the heavier players like Andre Arshavin. But if you were sitting there on Sunday saying the squad is too thin, there's not enough depth, and we signed one player on Monday, I don't think that can change in its entirety your opinion that you held on Sunday. And, you know, I don't want to couch this in negativity because that's not where I'm bringing it. I think for the club, this is an absolutely monumental, phenomenal moment and something I'm super excited about. For our season, I think there's still a question of whether or not it was enough business for us to be right at the very top.
Right, and that's one of those things. So Joseph was making a case. He's like, well, what if Arsene get his man in January and didn't want it now? And it's like, well, yeah, but you could bring in a striker. You know what I mean? Like, just we're just talking numbers alone, you know?
Well,
like,
looking at strategy, Joaquin, just really quickly, I mean, if the strategy on deadline day is let's negotiate with Chelsea and Jose Mourinho, you know, that's probably not a great strategy, right? I mean, they don't need our money and they don't want to help us succeed, certainly. So, you know, I'm not sure strategically that was the basket where you want all your striker eggs on deadline day, right?
Right. And the and you look at it, like you were talking about, in terms of scheduling out the summer and planning it in a certain way. You look at the Ozil signing, and it was a great opportunistic signing. But even a week before that, you know, apparently we were in for Angel Di Maria because that's who they were willing to let go. So it's not like the long-term plan was that our target was Mesut Ozil. We just came upon this great situation where all the dominoes fell the right way for us to get him. You can't say that was plan A, B, or even C.
No, well, credit to us that we did get him, but let's use the player's own words. Ozil himself said last weekend he was certain he was staying at Madrid.
Of course.
So if Ozil was certain he was staying at Madrid last weekend, you can't say that we knew all summer this was our target. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's incredibly facile to say this in the face of all other evidence of the Suarez bid and the Higuain pursuit and, you know, and Rooney interest and supposed Cavani bid in January and, you know, Ozil saying that he was going to stay at Madrid as of last weekend, to believe that this was our goal all summer. Having said that, there is no reason to take any of the credit away from the club for being able to pull this off, because if this is a results-based business and on a purely Machiavellian level, you can't be any more thrilled about a player coming into the club than you are about this player. And because Madrid kind of gave up on him in the prime of his career, and it's a World Cup year, this is a player who's going to come in so motivated and so hungry for us that, you know, he is not going to steal a living like some of the guys we've seen over the past few seasons.
And I think one of the really beautiful things about it, you know, like you and I both said that we would have been ecstatic if a guy like Fabregas had rejoined. But, you know, he's one of the many characters we were linked with this summer that divided opinion. There were people that felt like scorned lovers with him, you know, and don't want to get hurt again or whatever that may be. Other people, you know, we were talking about bidding $40 million for Luis Suarez. And, you know, you didn't want the guy that you bring in and shatter your transfer record to be a guy that divides opinion and has half the people for him and half the people against him. We brought in a guy, like you said, his class, coming into the prime of his career. Like, it couldn't be a more perfect signing in that sense. You know, position aside, like, this guy is one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world at his position.
Okay, you couldn't have picked a better signing. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't come in with racism and biting and suspensions. He doesn't come in with a, you know, history of going on strike to leave our club and having our club get a lesser transfer fee than they deserve. He comes in, I mean, again, all you have to do is look at shirt sales, look at the umlauts all over Twitter, you know, look at the buzz it's generating. And I think, you know, what I hope, Joaquin, what I really hope is that the clubs see the revenue generation from this signing, the way it energizes the supporters, what it has done on social media, and hopefully, you know, in terms of their commercial operations. And I hope what it does also for the manager as well is shows them that a big, big signing, when you make the right big signing, can actually be the most prudent, most responsible move for everyone involved.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that absolutely. You know, and Arsene finally, you know, he was saying he was only going to bring in super, super quality, and he did that.
He did it.
You know, so we can rejoice. Like you said, the umlauts are everywhere. Everyone's feeling good about this. It's you can't really get away from this feel good feeling. And it's you know, there hasn't been, everyone says there hasn't been a signing nearly this big since we signed Bergkamp, you know, which is, you know, eons ago for many a supporter. You know, I mean, how long ago is that? 18 years ago?
And it was an easier time to do a deal like that, truthfully. I mean, this is, you know, we are, that you're really swimming with sharks when you try to play a player like this in this market. And, you know, it's astounding if you think about it, the things that had to come together for this to happen. First of all, Real Madrid had to be stupid enough to be willing to let him go. All the other big clubs that have limitless resources had to somehow decide that this wasn't one to jump on and hijack. You know, I mean, you've seen the numbers that were spent on some other players that I think are lesser caliber players than Ozil. So a lot of things had to come together for this to happen. I'm convinced that Mertesacker and Podolski helped make it happen, that, you know, there were people in Germany that helped push him this direction. I'm sure London was a draw. The Premier League, the manager clearly had something to do with it. You know, the interesting thing, too, and I said this on another podcast, but this is the kind of player, too, that can make the rest of your players better. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, when Theo Walcott makes a really smart diagonal run behind the back four, this is a player who finds him with that ball. You know, this is someone who puts the ball right on Giroud's foot so he doesn't have to take an extra touch to finish. It's someone who, you know, moves players into the right position with the way he plays the ball. The ball. So it takes players that you had that you thought highly of, and adding Ozil to the mix can only make them better. So it's a huge improvement for just about everybody in the side.
Yeah, to that point, you know, they're going to feel like you're going to see him come into training, and you're going to be like, wow, Mesut Ozil has got some real skill. We have to up our game to
Bingo.
Be there, you know.
Yep.
And you know, if you've ever played in any team in any sport, you know, when you see big new guys come in that are hot shots, you can either get intimidated by this astounding, you know, power and precision, whatever it may be, or talent, or you can try to raise your game because this is what the new standard is going to be. And to that point, you know, in terms of also bringing more players in, you see a guy like this, and we haven't really had too many players still at the club that were the kind of guys that were role models for everyone. You look at, you know, look at Gedeon Zilalem, you know, retweeting his tweet from a year ago last year saying, mm-hmm. my dream would be Ozil at the club, you know, because he's a young German, you know, international, all that. This is a guy that the kids right now are watching and being like, wow, Mesut Ozil is one of the best players in the world. You know, we've been lacking that since we lost Henri and then Cesc and Van Persie. These were guys that people looked up to like, you know, deities almost. And, look, you know, these footballing gods that have such amazing talent and precision. And so that's going to be, you know, I think that effect can't be cheapened because it's really important.
I think now you get to play fantasy manager a little and say, you know, how do we line up? Now, with the injuries we have, I still think the team picks itself a little bit. But when Podolski and Arteta and Oxlade-Chamberlain are back, I think you have a lot of interesting and exciting possibilities. I mean, personally, I'd love to see Wenger try playing Ozil and Cazorla in midfield together. It'd be an almighty battle for Jack and Aaron and Arteta for that third and final midfield spot. But, you know, I see you shaking your head no. But I, you know, I don't know that couldn't be a really exciting prospect. And maybe what you do is, see, this is where it gets frustrating, right? Because you can invent formations to try to slot these guys in, but he's just going to...
Let's stick with the formations that we have and where you're going to put them in, because it's just, it's tough to see a change, especially with a team that's been playing well.
No, it would be silly to change it. You know, and really quickly, not to get off topic, but you bring up a good point. Sometimes a team can get better by staying the same, not evolutionarily better, but incrementally better just through consistency. We've lacked consistency. And what's so exciting about this summer is you take a team that was finally gelling, you keep them together, 95% of the core players, them together, and then you sprinkle in that dash of magic, you know, right. And that's what he's done, as opposed to having to reshape the team. So to me, I think Giroud has made center forward position his, both because there's no competition and because he's playing better. Theo is definitely the right wing. You know, he's playing great, I think. I mean, I know he hasn't had the goals to match his play, but I think he's playing well.
He's playing well.
If Podolski's healthy, I'd love to see Podolski wide left, Cazorla and Ozil in midfield with Arteta behind them, or Ramsey or Jack. But what do you think?
But see, here's the thing. So right now, Podolski's out for 3 months. Let's just say he's not going to be back.
So is Oxlade.
Let's just say he's not going to be back till the new year. So we got a lot of time before we need to worry about that, and it'll be a nice selection headache once we have it. Mm-hmm. But as things stand, I think it's going to be pretty easy. It's going to be similar to when we see Rosicki and Cazorla in the same team, and you see them mm-hmm. interchange a bit between the left or right wing and the center. Mm-hmm. He's going to give Ozil the number 10 spot. You know, he should give him the number 10 jersey too, but I mean, you know, Jack's got it.
Yeah.
But so you're going to see Cazorla on the left wing, Mesut Ozil through the middle. And the thing is that Ozil doesn't normally play on the left, and when he plays on the wing, he plays on the right more so than on the left. So you don't really see – Theo's not really a guy that can really play both sides. He doesn't have a left-footed cross. He kind of needs to be on the right. Ozil has that class. He could play out there. But I think we're going to see kind of that drifting, floating formation. But technically, the way it starts up, it's going to be Ozil behind the striker with a midfield of, you know, right now, like Jack and Ramsey. And if Ramsey continues to outperform Jack, it might be Jack getting rotated in and rotating with Ramsey with Arteta behind him. or Flamini or whoever else is going to be there. I think that's the way we're going to line up for the next few months.
It's really interesting because as much as I banged on about the squad being thin, you know, with the exception of – well, I guess, you know, I guess the truth is with the exception of center forward, there's a lot of options now in midfield. I mean, suddenly midfield feels very deep because – Ozil, Cazorla, Rizicki, Ramsey, Wilshere, Arteta, and Flamini are all players I think we'd feel comfortable having on the pitch in midfield.
Right.
Especially, you know, with Ramsey and Jack both improving. I don't think Jack gets enough credit for how well he played when he was on the pitch in the North London Derby. So it'll be interesting. But this is – it's so funny. You know, despite all logic or reason, when you take one of the best players in the world – and drop them into a pretty good side, that side suddenly becomes potentially a very good side. And that's what Ozil has done for us.
Yeah, so we've seen what kind of additions they can make and what, you know, like you said, sprinkling in that talent is a huge key, you know, because we're going to see, a guy with that kind of magic in his feet and vision. And he's going to be doing spinning back heels into oncoming Theo Walcott runs. I don't know if you saw it. There was a video I saw on YouTube yesterday of only back heel passes from Mesut Ozil. Mm-hmm. And the amount of them that there are is mind-boggling. Like, this is like a, I don't know how long the video is, you know, a 5-7 minute video of just highlights of him, like, you know, spinning past people with crazy back heel flicks. And they're all perfectly accurate, you know, between defenders, tightest spaces.
One of the ways you can tell how good a player is the reaction of teammates when that player leaves or that player arrives. And you look at what Real Madrid players were saying about Ozil leaving, and you look at some of the tweets from our players about him arriving, and players know great talent when they see it. You know, the players clearly hold him in extremely high esteem.
I mean, I think, you know, we saw obviously Sergio Ramos is some kind of special buddies with him, and Arbeloa, mm-hmm. they all made their points made, but then even Cristiano came out and said he's angry. He's like, yep. This is the player that knows my movements best. You know, this is the guy who's given him the most assists while he's there. He's mad. We just cut off his perfect pipeline to bring in his fucking rival, the guy who wants to be like him. You know,
you know what this does? This puts a lot of pressure on Giroud in a way, because Giroud's been playing really, really well, but the pressure will be on him now to move, you know, for his movement to be intelligent and thoughtful, and for him to have the kind of vision and understanding, because Ozil will see the pass 2 steps before it needs to be made, and it's going to be up to Giroud to see the run and see the movement and be in the position, you know?
Yeah, I almost feel like I think the guy who's going to get the most pressure in this sense might be Theo Walcott, because he's the guy that has the lightning pace to unlock it. And if he's misreading things, that's where it's really going to come down to. But they'll work fine. I think it'd be a good punt right now to put money on Giroud as the top goal scorer in the Premier League. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's the greatest.
It's not a bad
there,
call.
But,
I mean, it's interesting to me too, because I think that our style has kind of evolved, and what I think starting in after sort of the 2007 season, or maybe starting in 2007, and as Cesc came to prominence, we moved away from being a counterattacking side, sort of a well-organized defensive unit that counterattacked, which is a lot of what the Invincibles did and
right.
What we did when we had, you know, Henri and Bergkamp, Vieira and Gilberto Silva and Pires and Ljungberg. And we became more of a static passing side, you know, tippy, tappy, slow build-up, Fabregas dropping perfect lob balls over the top from deep. I think you're seeing us evolve back into a counterattacking side. We were poor against Villa, where we had most of the possession. But against Fenerbahce twice, against Fulham, and in the North London Derby, we looked best when we were organized. We didn't have the ball. When we got the ball, we went from defense to attack quickly, transitioned through midfield quickly. And, you know, Walcott obviously is well-suited for that. Oxlade-Chamberlain, when he comes back, I mean, look at the first goal we scored of the season against Villa.
Right.
It was a phenomenal counterattacking move from Jack to, was it Jack to Cazorla to Ox or Jack to Rizicki? I can't remember. Jack to Rizicki to Oxlade-Chamberlain. Oxlade-Chamberlain with the perfect cross. And it was a flawless move, but it was a beautiful counterattacking move. And one thing Ozil can do, Ozil is quick on the ball. He can carry the ball through midfield. He's going to see the perfect pass, you know, on the run. So if we are going to continue to try to be more of a counterattacking side, and you have players that are quick of thought, like Cazorla, like Ozil, that's going to benefit players like Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain, who have the pace to just make our take that counterattack from good to devastating. I think he fits the direction we're heading
better than any player we were linked with. Fits it perfect. And like you said, we've been kind of returning to that style, you know, the speed of the break, you know, and you look at the fact that, you know, what we have in the team, we do have some lightning pace through, you know, a good chunk of our team. We have some guys with that are really quick, and we've seen that movement, like you said, from back to front. And it's that quick outlet and turn. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, shit, here comes Arsenal on the break. And you see you've got two flyers running through. You got a couple different midfielders. You see two or three one-touch passes through the middle, and all of a sudden, it's on. And there's no one who facilitates that better. And you look at the system that he's coming from, right? Mesut Ozil was playing last year for Jose Mourinho, right, at Real Madrid. And what is his main thing he does? He only sets up his teams to counterattack like that. So, I mean, he's built for it perfectly. I think he's going to fit in seamlessly. You know, it's a no-brainer.
Lightweight. If you wanted to pick some questions out about him, he's been described as an artist. The Premier League doesn't always suffer artists kindly. He's going to get chunks kicked out of him at first. You know, we saw it with Cazorla last year. Cazorla came in like all guns blazing. Got his ankles, you know, kicked at nonstop, like little terriers nipping at him. Right. And he had a real dip in form through the middle of the season. I think when the lack of a winter break and the weather and just all the accumulated kicks started to catch up with him, and then he kind of caught fire again during the run-in. You know, if you had to pick a concern with Ozil, it's adapting to the more physical, rough and tumble, you know, poorly refereed league that he's joining. And the weather and the long season, but my money's on him making it.
Yeah, he's gonna have kind of a baptism by fire, right? We start Sunderland away and then Stoke at home. I mean, welcome to the Premier League. He's gonna get a taste of that.
Especially up at Sunderland. I mean, I don't think Stoke are necessarily the Stoke of old anymore, and on the road they're not a very strong team, you know, when they're away. But Sunderland away is a place where the pitch is usually poor. They kick chunks out of you. You know, I mean, Di Canio doesn't seem to have that team clicking on all cylinders right now, but we'll see how it goes.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. And I think, like you said, I mean, Santi Cazorla got the shit kicked out of him for a good chunk of last season. I think a lot of it had to do with fatigue. You know, he did play – didn't he play every single Premier League game?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that statistic's a little bit crazy. That also shows you that we were lacking creativity because a lot of times he was the only guy out there. I think Santi, you know, will benefit a lot from this signing as well just because – you know, a lot of times, especially the tactic changed to where they just came out and tried to shut down Santi. They're like, if you shut him down, you shut down their creativity. And so then there's the focal point of their attention. If that's now going to be Mesut Ozil, you know, it's like the more players you add in that realm of a guy who can create and do things, it's going to open up space for others. So if they mark both of them, they leave Ramsey, leave the pass. I mean, it's going to be more space for other players to succeed.
Well, it also, I mean, I think this is really where it helps a lot, right? I mean, we've been playing all right without him. I mean, we're in great form. But one of the recipes to sort of disarming us and breaking us down is pressing us aggressively in midfield. And then we make the mistake, we turn the ball over, and the back four is exposed because we don't really shield the back four very well from midfield to begin with. Villa did it well. Villa kept the tempo really high in midfield and pressed and pressed and pressed. And we weren't great in midfield that day, and it cost us. And I mean, obviously, bad refereeing decisions cost us as well. But if you look at what Ozil does, it's kind of like Cazorla. They can't get to Cazorla. Even when he's pressed, it's a quick flip, a quick switch of the feet, and he's around you. And now you're out of position, and he can see the pitch. I think Ozil is going to be the same thing, that half-step faster thought process, those extra quick feet, that when you're pressed, I mean, I think he will absolutely feast on teams that try to press us in midfield because the ball will be gone before they get there. He'll have moved into the empty space that they'll have created, and he'll be there to finish a move or create havoc when they do try to press. So, you know, the one thing that I thought was idiotic were the comments that this is a luxury signing for Arsenal. It's a player they didn't need. It's a, first of all, you always need one of the best players in the world. And second of all,
There's always room for quality. Like I said, if you bring someone world class, you'll always find a place for him. If you say, oh, that wasn't our most, you know, our most pressing need. It's like, well, did you watch us last season? A lot of times we were missing that last little bit, that spark of creativity. Everyone's thinking, oh, God, Fabregas would have found a pass. Yeah, Mesut Ozil will find a pass. So, yeah, maybe in terms of depth, just at the position, we didn't need it as much as other players. But you take a guy of this quality, of course you need him.
I think it boils down to this, right? There's what this means for us as a club, and there's what this means for us this season. It can't be overstated how important this is for us as a club. What it means for us this season is a little bit more of an open question. Whether we've done enough business, whether we have quite the depth, whether we have, you know, I mean, God forbid Giroud is out for even one game, you know, what the alternatives are. Do we have ways to survive that? I think those are still open questions. But what this means for us as a club can't be overstated. So it certainly does this. It makes the people who renewed their season tickets not feel like chumps, and they'll be excited to be at the stadium. The next home game, which I guess is it a Champions League game, or is it Stoke at home, or is it
I believe it's Stoke at home.
Carling Cup, we're away to West Brom. Yeah, right. So Stoke at home, you know, that's going to be an electrifying atmosphere, his first home game. It's going to sell a lot of shirts. It's going to re-energize the fan base, and it's going to give people hope and optimism that we are ready to sort of move into the next phase of existence at the Emirates. So no one can tell what it's going to do for this season. Time will tell that. But what it does for the club, I think, is undeniable.
Without a doubt. I believe I saw the stat earlier today, something about 15,000, you know, sold from Arsenal Direct or something of Mesut Ozil shirts. I mean, that's a huge number. You know, I don't think anyone else.
Well, I mean, if it's roughly £100 a shirt, right? I mean, you know, let's just say that because it makes the numbers easier. That's what, £1.5 million
right
in shirt sales, right there. You know, that's a lot of wages paid for already.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. There's all sorts of funny statistics coming out with that today. It looks good. It's almost too bad there's an international break right now. I mean, one good thing, like Joseph brought up the point that, well, we have injuries. Some of these guys need some rest. And like, yeah, you're right. Some of that's good. We could use some of the rest. Hopefully these guys aren't playing 2 90-minute internationals during this break. You know, I want to see Benzema playing for France. I want Giroud to get rest.
Yeah. Do we know who Germany plays? Do they have two matches? Do they have two qualifiers?
Well, I think nearly everyone has two matches. I don't know if they're both qualifiers or one's a qualifier and one's not. I can't really say on that. But I mean, I think the teams are generally playing Friday and Monday, kind of like around the long weekend, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then so they're back and get time before the weekend's match. I think we're just sad that, you know, we have to wait so long to see Mesut Ozil line up in an Arsenal shirt. But, you know, next Saturday.
It's worth the wait.
It'll be worth the wait. We'll all be sitting with fingers crossed when he's playing for Germany. You know, we'll be excited and just hoping that he gets wrapped in cotton wool.
I think the great news about this, too, is that with Podolski there and Mertesacker there, I think he has a little bit of a family with Arsene Wenger speaking German. You know, I think it's going to be a comfortable transition for him as well. You know,
and we have a couple of young guys that are looking up to him. Obviously, Serge Gnabry and Zell Alem, both being German youth internationals, are going to like it. So, and you got to say, I mean, you got to like what these Germans brought to the team, even though you wouldn't say individually that the two Germans that we already had have been spectacular, but they've been solid. You know, Mertesacker has helped out in so many different ways. You know, he was. Most people considered him the least convincing center back, you know, at the club just last year, you know, the beginning of the season. So, you know, his assuredness, you know, and the way he's handled and managed the game has been a huge asset. And look at the other things he's done. I mean, apparently he helped with Podolski, he helped with Ozil. I mean, that's huge, and you couldn't really ask much more from players.
No, and, you know, looking at how things are in the league right now, I think there are a lot of teams that can factor into the title race, but the good news is he arrives with us not being out of it by any stretch. You know, we're in the Champions League. We're still in the, you know, the title discussion in the Premier League. I mean, I know it's very early, but what I mean is, you know, we didn't lose to Villa, Fulham, and Spurs. We didn't get knocked out by Fenerbahce. Nothing has happened yet that prevents us from achieving everything we want to achieve this season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're on, we're what, fourth place, 6 points, you know, tied with, you know, we're right there. Just behind Chelsea and Liverpool. That's it. It's a 3-point gap. And the 3-point gap is to Liverpool. And, you know, Liverpool aren't going to win the title. So,
you know what? I mean, it's funny because I think Liverpool deserves some credit. I think if they can get Suarez motivated, if he comes into that side and wants to play for them, they'll be a tough team this season. I mean, I don't think they'll be in the title reckoning. But
they might be able to pip United for fourth. Is that what you're saying?
I want to live in that world. Yeah.
I want to live in where that becomes a reality someday.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And you know, it is funny though, because you look at Van Persie, who left Arsenal because he didn't like the direction the club was headed. And to be fair to him, it got him a title. But if you look at direction now, we've got stability at manager. We've got stability with commercial revenues. We have no debt. We just signed one of the best players in the world. We've kept our core together. We've strengthened the team over the last two seasons. And Van Persie's at a club that just had one of the worst transfer windows they've ever had. The manager that he went for is gone. They're saddled with debt with owners whose willingness to invest potentially be questioned. I mean, if you wanted to talk about direction, I certainly like our direction right now, today. And I know that's rich coming from a team that scraped fourth comparing to a team that won the title. But direction-wise, I'm fairly happy with ours.
And I'm pretty happy with what's happened up north, just because, you know, you always knew there were going to be some hiccups for David Moyes. And look at this. I mean, they've already lost to Liverpool and drawn with Chelsea. You know, David Moyes' record against top four opposition is still – he still has zero wins. Mm-hmm. He now still has never won at Anfield. I didn't realize he had never done that during his tenure as Everton manager. I knew he won, you know, several derbies, but I guess they were all at home. So, you know, that meltdown and the fans, I mean, there's a large section of Man United fans that want David Moyes out already, you know?
It's hilarious.
I mean, yeah. How fickle can you be? But the thing is, we saw this coming. We knew this would happen. A little hiccup, you know, not sign, if they didn't sign a big name and if they lost any of these big fixtures in the beginning, it's all going to go pear-shaped. It's not done for them, you know? It is only a hiccup so far, but this could turn into a disaster.
They still have the best striker in England, you know? I mean, and that makes up for a lot of blemishes. But the thing I like is I like seeing them flail around in the transfer market this summer, because it tells me that Ferguson's departure has further reaching implications than just what it means to match day. You know, and you look at these things. I mean, Mourinho has brought his typical stale football back to Chelsea. You know, I don't understand what's going on there. I mean, the thought that they were willing potentially when to let Juan Mata go tells you all you need to know about the type of football Mourinho wants to play. City have not clicked yet. So the one thing that worries me, and, you know, I don't want to start rambling, but if you look at it, if you look at City's squad, if you look at Chelsea's squad, they have big squads. There's talent all the way through the first 11 and all the way through the guys that are on the bench. Just come November and December, when the games come thick and fast and the weather's cold and people are getting pulled, you know, pulling muscles, those two, I think, have a chance to put a little distance between them and the others just on the strength of their squad.
Yeah, they'll be able to rotate for all those matches and not lose too much. You know, if the Manders can properly integrate those players and get the balance right when rotating the squad, which has always been, I think you were bringing up this point before about United use something like, what, 22 squad players 20, or something? 20, 21, yeah. 22, but over 10 matches, over 10.
Over 10 matches, yeah, started over 10 matches. I mean, in the league last season.
That's what wins you titles, if you can balance a squad correctly. So hopefully we see some of that from Arsenal this year. With the limited resources we have now, we get some guys back to full fitness. And hopefully we'll have the Arsenal back soon so we can actually watch Mesut Ozil in person.
I can't wait. And you know what? The good news is, we get to go through all the ITK bullshit and all the rumors and all the hand-wringing again in 3 months.
What do you mean? It's going to be like 3 weeks. It's going to be coming up soon. Yes, 3 months technically, but it'll be back before you know it. So
yeah, maybe, you know, and this is the problem, right?
Like it'll show up as soon as Christmas shows up here in the States. So is it Halloween now or is it?
Yeah, well, it's right after Halloween ends. Yeah. To me, the shame of it is, I think as supporters, as fans, we have swung the pendulum so far towards being transfer fans instead of football fans. And right. I could not be more excited for the window to be closed, especially with Ozil in tow, because until the next one opens, I don't care about a single rumor. I just want to enjoy watching this guy play for Arsenal.
All right, one last point before yep. I let you go. You know, I was talking about this with Joseph, like, dude, almost after signing Ozil, you almost want the window to be open for one more week because of what that could do in terms of a knock-on effect.
It's a great point. It's a great, you know, and this is the point, right? I mean, again, it's everything. It's shirt sales. It's commercial revenues. It's showing the world that we can sign these kind of players from big teams. It's no more making fun of Dick Law and Ivan Gazidis and Arsene Wenger. You know, I mean, I'm sure you saw Gunnar Blog's fantastic YouTube parody video
of course.
Thrift Shop. Is that what it was, right?
He's made a few.
Yeah, but you know, all that can go now. You've spent £42 million and you bought one of the best players in the world from one of the biggest clubs, and it makes Arsenal look like a place where things are happening, all right? I mean, when Santi Cazorla goes back to the Spanish national team, when Mesut Ozil and Podolski and Per Mertesacker go back to the German national team, when Theo and Jack and Ox and Gibbs hook up with the English national team, these guys go back, you know, when Giroud goes to the France national team, they hook up with these guys and they can tell them about how fun it is to be there right now, how great the atmosphere is, how fun it was to play with Mesut Ozil. And that helps recruit players. There is no doubt about it, especially now with us back in the Champions League, with us, you know, on, you know, having momentum. So I agree with you that it's a shame it's not open another week. But when the next opportunity rolls around to sign a player, it won't be that, oh, yeah, pull the other one kind of attitude. Yeah. It'll be a legitimate Now that we've done this, no rumor will ever again be looked at as bullshit. You know, it's a possibility.
Right. Yeah, and like you said, with this one, we had to wait to see it happen. But it's happened now, so let them continue. Whether it just be one per window, sign one player. They don't have to be $40 million, but, you know, a player of some significant class.
As long as they're not selling a class player. You know, if we get two more players that are Cazorla, Ozil kind of class, you know, in the next year. Without selling anyone significant, we can win everything there is to win.
Yeah.
And we have the money to go do that, so hopefully we will.
Hopefully we will. Well, thank you, Elliot. It's always a pleasure. You can follow Elliot on Twitter at Yankee Gunner. And thank you for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Hope to talk to you soon.
All right, great. Thanks, guys. The streets when the sun comes out.